This is the age of the written word. That's all that's left. The spoken words, just black smoke, wild cat's piss. The boss of Credit Gone West doesn't like ready-made phrases like, in Africa, when an old person dies, a library burns. Every time he hears that worn-out cliché, he gets mad. He'll say, depends which old person. Don't talk crap. I only trust what's written down.
That was the novelist Alain Mabankou giving us a taste of life in Credit Gone West, a squalid bar at the centre of his latest novel, Broken Glass. It's the story of the bar and the characters who frequent it, told by the bar's most faithful customer, who's also called Broken Glass. Alain, your narrator is a disgraced former French teacher who describes French as a river to be diverted. Is that how you feel about the French language yourself?
Yes, I think, because I don't like writing in the classical way. I think that with Broken Glass, I was trying to write something new. I was trying to break the French language so far I was writing. So that's why I let my character, whose name is Broken Glass, to lead the book, to explain how I can take from the Congolese way of speaking and to put it into the French. I think that I wrote this book with my African accent, but it's written in French anyway, and I'm very glad because the translator in English did the same thing. She tried to capture African language and to put it into English language.
You're not a fan of such things as capital letters or full stops or paragraphs, are you?
No, I wanted to be a kind of rebel. I don't like to wear a suit and to be clean. In literature, you need to wear the basket, to wear a jean, or to wear a hat, like I used to do.
Halfway through the book, Broken Glass eventually proclaims a kind of manifesto for literature. He says that his writing is such a mess, it's such a muddle, because that's how life is. Is that why your fiction is so full of diversions, of asides, of jokes, and so on? Is that?
Yes, my novel looks like me, so I like being. I don't see my life like a quiet river. So you will find in my book how I used to laugh, how I used to see my life. And in Broken Glass, I think that I tried as possible as I can to explain how life can be possible even if you are in desperation.
I was wondering if you've got particular targets in mind in the world of French letters. Are there people you've got in mind when he rails against the output of a load of old has-beens designed to comfort other old has-beens?
Yes, I wanted to criticize, you know, French. Some French writers, they need to be like writing with following what we call Académie Française rules. So I don't want this kind of literature. You used to think that African writer should write only on politics, but I'm writing just on society. So I try to break the rules. I try to bring something which can show that I'm very free. I want to write what I want to write.
I wonder if you think that things are opening up a little in French literature in the last couple of years. I mean, you won the Renaudot in 2006 for Mémoire de Porc Épic, and then last year Le Clézio was awarded the Nobel, and then the Goncourt went to Atik Rahim and the Renault last year again to Thierno Monet-Nebo. Mm-hmm. Do you think things are opening up a little bit?
I think things are opening up slowly. It was a huge struggle. When I won in 2006 the Renault Prize, it was for me a surprise, because I was thinking so far that it was a prize for French people. So I was astonished to hear that I won that prize. I was saying that what happened to France, they are like giving away their prizes. And last year, I was also astonished to see that someone from Afghanistan, Atik Raimi, won the Goncourt, and someone from Guinea, Tianomo Nenembo, won the Renaudot Prize. I think that French people must know that French literature is like now held by Francophone writers. We are trying to express French literature abroad. That may be the huge change. We're going to keep on struggling.
Yeah, with the kind of wider, open attitude to what French can do, what French is tackling.
Yes, but I think we needed that. If I see even in Anglophone world, we see that you have Salman Rushdie, Zadie Smith, Izondi Mayiwaila, Anif Qureshi, people who are trying to they're trying to express another way to write in English. That's very good. They are all like grandsons, Shakespeare grandsons, if I can say like that. So we need to be also Victor Hugo's grandsons, but it's not that easy.
Disons que le patron du bar, le Crédit à Voyager, m'a remis un cahier que je dois remplir. Et il croit dur. Let's say the boss of the bar, Credit Gone West, gave me this notebook to fill. He's convinced that I, Broken Glass, can turn out a book, because one day for a laugh I told him about this famous writer who drank like a fish and had to be picked up off the street when he got drunk. Which shows you should never joke with the boss. He takes everything literally. When he gave me this notebook, he said from the start it was only for him. No one else would read it. And when I asked why he was so set on this notebook, he said he didn't want Credit Gone West just to vanish one day, and added that people in this country have no sense of the importance of memory, that the days when grandmothers reminisced from their death beds was gone now. This is the age of the written word. That's all that's left. The spoken words, just black smoke, wildcat's piss. The boss of Credit Gone West doesn't like ready-made phrases like, in Africa, when an old person dies, a library burns. Every time he hears that worn-out cliché, he gets mad. He'll say, depends which old person. Don't talk crap. I only trust what's written down. So I thought I'd jot a few things down here from time to time just to make him happy, though I'm not sure what I'm saying. I admit I've begun to quite enjoy it. I won't tell him that, though. He'll get ideas and start to push me to do more and more, and I want to be free to write when I want, when I can. There's nothing worse than forced labor. I'm not his slave. I'm writing this for myself as well. That's why I wouldn't want to be in his shoes when he reads these pages. I don't intend it to spare him or anyone else. By the time he reads this, though, I'll no longer be a client of his bar. I'll be dragging my bag of bones about some other place. Just slip him the document quietly before I go, saying, mission accomplished.
I'm wondering, Broken Glass is your second book to appear in English, but it's actually the fifth or sixth novel you wrote in French?
Yes.
And was published, it was published back in France in 2006, so a few years back now. What's it like going back to see it again after that time?
It's like a new book, you know. I'm coming like I wrote it last year. I think that I can consider that it's a new book. Translation is a work. hard work. So that shows also that when you write a book, you have to be prepared that your book gonna have its own life. So Broken Glass is now living in England after living in France. So I'm just following it. I'm just saying that, oh, you are now here. After that, maybe we'll go to Germany, we'll go to Sweden, and so on and so on. That the faith of that the destiny of the book in this case.
I'm wondering if there's something about African Psycho, the first one to be translated into English, and Broken Glass, which you feel is representative of your work or different from the rest of your work. Why do you think the English translators have chosen those two books?
But maybe because African Psycho was a book very open about the failure. It's about a crime. The main character is trying to be a serial killer, but he's not succeeding. So it was funny in this sense, and the connection with American Psycho from Brett Easton Ellis was maybe one of the elements people saw in the translation. And Broken Glass, maybe it's another way to see Africa. So far, people were like reading books or novel about Africa, always dark fiction with a kind of misery here and there. So I'm trying to bring something which is laughable. I'm trying to be ironical. I'm trying to explain that we can talk about Africa at the same time we can laugh. So hopefully people are going to read the book in this sense.
Is that something that, are there a lot of African writers at the moment doing a similar kind of thing and Western publishers just aren't picking up on that? Or is it something that's a furrow you're ploughing very much on your own?
I think that Western publisher had a kind of idea about Africa. They want African writers writing about politics, economics, or colonization, and so on and so on. But when it's come to put aside or to show the connection between Europe and France and to explain how someone can be desperate because of the colonization, that's another problem. It puts Europe in front of its responsibilities. So they have to think twice before publishing this kind of book. But we're trying to force the doors, to open the door anyway.
It is 20 years, isn't it, now, since you left Congo, Brazzaville, and you firstly lived in Paris, and then you're now living in the US, where you're a professor of French literature at UCLA. Do you get back much these days?
Yes, I used to go back to the Congo. I need that in order to feel, in order to recall my childhood. I used to go over there each time I'm beginning to write a book. And I need to be in touch with African people. I don't want to be like this kind of writer who is living abroad and seeing Africa on his TV or just reading the newspaper. I need to go there to feel the air, to see people, to get into the market and to discuss with people.
Yeah, you'd still call yourself an African writer then?
Absolutely. I'm proud to be African writer, even if sometimes they used to call me a French writer just because I used to write in French. But one day, maybe when I'm going to write in Hebrew, I'm going to change my status.
So, I mean, you're an African writer, yeah, and a French writer, mm-hmm, and you all these multiple identities at the same time. Is that?
Yes. It's good because I was born in Africa, I grew up in France, and I'm living in Los Angeles where I'm teaching French. So I need people to call me African writer, Francophone writer, French writer, maybe one day American writer if they want to call me like that. So it's my life. I like traveling. I like going here and there.
Many of your narrators are figures on the margins, on the edges of things. There's a wannabe serial killer, there's a disgraced teacher, there's the evil animal twin as well. It's tempting to suggest there's a link there to your own situation, living away from the country where you were born. Do you feel like an exile? Do you feel the kind of marginal living in LA?
No, I don't feel like marginal or in exile. I feel like I want to stay where I can write very well. So living in America allows me to see Africa and Europe very far from.
Gives you a bit of distance.
Yes, very distance, so that I can have this kind of nostalgia. I can feel that I'm far from home, and then I can write quietly. I don't want to stay like in Europe or in Africa to write, but I want to be far from home.
Yeah, it's 8 years now after you moved from Paris to the States, and now you've written a book, Black Bazaar, which sets a dandy born in Congo Brazzaville loose on the streets of the French capital. Can you imagine, you know, in another 4 or 8 years writing a book set in LA?
Maybe it's possible, but I need to stay again over there like for 10 years ago, because Black Bazaar is a part of my life. It's what I lived when I was living in France. I lived over there for like 15 years. So if I wrote Black Bazaar, it's just because I was living far from France. I was living in the United States of America. So living with African American over there helped me to ask myself about African in France. Black Bazaar is about African living in France, the way they are living, the way France is treating them. And maybe the day I'm going to leave America and maybe stay in Tokyo, I'm going to write something about Los Angeles.
Might be a little while yet.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This chamber of words is life. Come on, come into my lair. Check out the rotting garbage. Here's my take on life.